Tomorrow, Mike Grendel of Dixmont will appear before a judge to ask for a suspended sentence in an unusual case. It was about 3 months ago when Grendel experienced a mental health breakdown and his friends called police for help. 20 hours later, Grendel's house would be leveled by a robot bomb. He would be shot 3 times and he would face criminal charges. As Patty White reports, the case raises questions about police use of force when responding to a mental health crisis.
On a recent rainy day, Lee Bell is standing on the 2-acre property where his best friend Mike Grendel's house once stood.
As you can see, there's just a slab here.
Just a few months ago, this 24 by 24 concrete slab supported a 2-story house filled with antiques from a general store once owned by Grendel's grandfather. All that's left now is debris. Shards of glass in the garden that Grendel meticulously tended, a sheet of drywall in the woods nearby, bits of insulation that cling to a shrub. As Bell surveys the damage, he thinks back to when he called the police to help his friend.
You know, the part that even blames myself, you know, when I saw the just devastation of this whole explosion. And, I mean, could it have ended any other way? I just really, truthfully can't believe it actually happened.
Bell and Grendel have been friends for decades. They live just a minute or two's drive away from each other. Bell's the kind of friend who would run a plate of dinner up to Grendel from time to time. And Grendel was like a second father to Bell's kids. Bell's son, Jacob Irish, calls Grendel the gentle giant.
You know, very calm, cool demeanor, always soft-spoken and just treated everybody with respect.
But last spring, Bell says his friend's behavior started to change. He stopped going to his job in maintenance at a nearby mobile home community. He painted his mailbox several times over, even in the rain. He stopped returning phone calls. Things took a dramatic turn on the evening of June 27th. When Bell came home, he found Grendel in the driveway. A UPS driver dropped off a package, and Bell says Grendel became agitated.
He's kind of looking at me, but yet he's still looking right by me. Kept mentioning, is that package for me? Is that package for me?
Grendel displayed a gun and a small hatchet, which Bell says was out of character. To avoid trouble, he handed Grendel the package and went inside. About 20 minutes later, he drove to his friend's house to check on him. But he says Grendel chased him in his truck, shooting at him with a handgun. Bell made it safely back to his house. He decided not to call the police for fear that Grendel would be harmed. But the next morning, Irish says he and his father decided to call in law enforcement.
When they got here, we explained to them for a long time the severity of the mental breakdown that he's having.
Officers arrived on the scene just before 2 in the afternoon, and using the PA system, they told Grendel to come out of the house with his hands up. Grendel's attorney, David Bate, says his client emerged from the house.
And Mr. Grendel comes out in his underwear with his hands up and asks if they're the real police.
The police identify themselves as state troopers, but Grendel walks back inside and closes the door. For the next 20 hours, police tried unsuccessfully to draw him out of the house. They give instructions over the PA system, play a message from Jacob Irish, and activate sirens and an air horn. To show Grendel that they're the real police, they turn on the blue lights of an armored vehicle. Around 5 o'clock the next morning, they decide to breach a window. That, says David Bate, is when things started to escalate.
So you had a man who didn't believe there were the real police outside, and they drive this black armored vehicle, somewhat sinister looking in my opinion, down to the side of his house, which is unusual, and then they take up, there's a pole sticking off of this Bearcat machine, and they smash in his window. That's the poking of the bear that started Mr. Grendel firing at the police.
Police reports say that Grendel fired back immediately and continued to shoot sporadically over the next few hours. Because they can't pinpoint his exact location in the house, police decide to take down a wall using an explosive strapped to a robot.
And as that robot started down the driveway, predictably, Mr. Grendel thought it was coming from the fake police, and he shot at and disabled it. And I think that action saved Mr. Grendel's life.
Police were still able to detonate the explosive, which blew out the first floor of Grendel's house, sending the roof down onto the slab. According to police reports, Grendel crawled out from the rubble and retrieved a rifle. Police ordered him to drop it. It's unclear whether Grendel's hearing was affected by the explosion, but he didn't drop the rifle. Police shot him 3 times, twice in the shoulder, once through his jaw. He was taken by Lifelight to Maine Medical Center. Attorney David Bate says the police grossly overreacted.
I'm just astonished that they could use this much destructive power against a citizen, and also astonished that the citizen survived. And it's just a miracle.
Grendel is now at Riverview Psychiatric Center waiting for a bail hearing. He faces one count of criminal threatening with a dangerous weapon and one count of reckless conduct with a dangerous weapon for shots allegedly fired at Lee Bell. The Maine State Police declined to comment on active cases, but Major Christopher Groton says the goal is to resolve these kinds of standoffs peacefully. And he says many troopers are trained in mental health first aid.
But we do find sometimes when we can't establish a dialogue with an individual, and that really limits our ability to use techniques to de-escalate. When you simply can't communicate with somebody, that clearly makes it very, very difficult to try to peacefully resolve that.
Jenna Maynard of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness in Maine, says when responding to someone having a mental health crisis, it's important to exercise patience.
And taking things slow, talking low, giving it time. And that's hard when there are competing demands, but that's what a person with mental illness needs.
Maynard says law enforcement doesn't always have that luxury, but she sees the Dixmont incident as a learning opportunity for both law enforcement and the mental health system. Back in Dixmont, Lee Bell walks among a crumpled front door, Benton refrigerator, and other remains of Grendel's house that are piled on the other side of the woods from the concrete slab. A neighborhood group raised $1,500 for a dumpster to clean up the house. Bell brought his excavator to take care of the remaining debris. He says he couldn't stand to drive by his friend's house and see the wreckage.
You know, I'm never going to get over this. I mean, not what he did to me. That didn't bother me a damn bit. How it played out in the end.
His son, Jacob Irish, questions the actions of the police.
Why did you have to resort to completely blowing up a guy's entire house? Everything someone worked for their whole life, you know, it's like, you don't think twice about taking that away from them.
And Bell and Irish are worried Grendel will lose even more if he's incarcerated. His attorney, David Bate, says at Friday's hearing, he'll ask the judge for a suspended sentence and 4 years probation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.